With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I feel like we need to get to spring quickly. Some days I love winter and I really do love snow, but if there's not going to be any snow, well, then we should just get to spring. And I know that's really insensitive of me because many of you have snow, including my grandmother in her neck of the woods in Wisconsin. They have a ton of snow where she is, and it's been a really snowy last month. And so there are plenty of people who have snow. I'm jealous because I would like some of that white stuff. But without it, it's just brown and cold. And while my dog is super happy with the brown and cold, I can almost get into a spring mode of thinking now. Almost. Not totally, but almost. Think spring. We're going to think spring on this particular edition of the show because we are through NFL season, obviously. The dust has settled. We've got a couple of weeks now before the combine and then pro days. The NFL draft is a couple months away. Free agency, certainly, just about a month until the new NFL league year. And while there will be plenty of football news to share with you, it's this nice pocket in sports. I really enjoy the month of February and the early part of March because it feels like we're building toward what is always a maniacal spring. And so I've got spring things on the brain as we say bye-bye Monday. For those of you who had a holiday, well, you know, love you too. But we're moving forward into a Tuesday morning and the rest of the work week. I've got some fun stuff planned later in the week. If you haven't heard, I'm heading to Pittsburgh for a hockey game. Just a hockey game. Driving over there, doing a show after the game, driving back. It's one of the crazier things that I've ever planned for myself, but I'm pretty excited about it. So if you haven't heard the details, I'll share those with you a little bit later on. But it is this cool pocket, as I said, of time where we're building. We're building in college basketball. We're building in the NBA and the NHL. We're building toward golf's majors, and the first one being the Masters in April. It's a lot of excitement, of course, because of what Tiger Woods accomplished last year and winning for the first time in forever. We're building toward the draft, which is such a marquee event now in the NFL. We're gaining momentum. It's like an avalanche if you think about it. Starting relatively small, somewhere high up in the mountains. Can't hear it, can't see it. And then as it starts to pick up speed, coming downhill, gravity, momentum, extra snow, debris, everything else, it starts to become this monster. And that's what the spring is all about in sports. It is a monster, but it's awesome. I love it. Major League Baseball, obviously. And as I talk about building, we still don't have any definitive news about Bryce Harper or Manny Machado or some of the other high-profile free agents. So there's a lot that we will have on our plate in the springtime. And I mentioned this, I warned you on last night's show, and I know a lot of you were out of your regular routines, and so you weren't tuned in. The flip side was also true. Some of you out of your regular routines, and you were tuned in. And for those of you who listen on the podcast, well, whenever you tune in, we're happy to have you. It's better late than never. What is the event, the big sporting event, the next big thing? Spring things that you're most excited about, whether it's the draft, whether it's opening day, which I feel like in Major League Baseball, it's become opening night and then more opening night and then opening day and then more opening day. Major League Baseball has milked that whole process, but people get very excited about it. Hope springs eternal. So if it's football, if it's baseball, maybe it's March Madness. maybe it's NBA and NHL playoffs. And right now, while the NBA is on its all-star break, the NHL stepped into that void and had some kind of a wild night. So we'll talk about that. Maybe you're a massive NASCAR fan, and since Daytona was just the first race, you're really excited about having races every weekend now. For the most part, they take a couple off in the spring. Or maybe it is golf, and you're counting the days until the Masters. So whatever it is, that will be our Twizzler Tuesday question on this edition of the show. What is the next big thing in sports that you are really excited about? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm still on my Monday. I know many of you are still on your Monday. But if we focus forward, then maybe the weekend will get here more quickly. Actually, for me, I just want Thursday to get here really quickly. But yes, we're going to do that as our Twizzler Tuesday question. So you'll need our social media. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4CBS. I have to tell you about the really cute request I got from Pittsburgh. And I normally don't do, well, it's not that I don't do things like this for fans. I do if I have the opportunity. But this is a unique request that I think I'm going to fulfill when I'm in Pittsburgh on Thursday night. So that'll be fun. Anyway, what are you most looking forward to? Let's get that discussion all jacked up and ready to go. We do have a very special guest on this edition of the show. For those of you who love college football and you're honed in on this combine and draft process, well, you're going to want to keep your eyes on the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, Michigan's junior captain on that side of the ball, Devin Bush, an amazing linebacker, two-time All-American, and also a really good talker. Had a chance to catch up with him a few hours ago, and he was great. Made jokes, and I really enjoyed spending a few minutes with him. So that conversation on this edition of the show will let you know. You know what? I think we're going to use that about a half hour from now, and then we'll flip it, and we'll use it again later in the show since Michigan is Eastern time zone, and I want as many Michigan fans to hear it as possible. But even if you're not a fan of Michigan, maybe you're just a fan of the Big Ten or you love college football, it's definitely worth your while. So Devin Bush of the Michigan Wolverines, wait until you hear what he has to say about Joe. Oh, my gosh. There goes the perfect show. I was so close. I was so close to getting through the first segment. When do you hear what he has to say about Jim Harbaugh? You know why I did that? Because on the screen in front of me, I don't exactly know what channel is on one of the TVs, but it's all about Joe Gibbs and what happened in Daytona. And even though I'm trying not to look at it, Joe got stuck in my brain. It's just, yeah. I can't explain the process other than to say my brain is like a plate of spaghetti. That's just how it goes. Sometimes you pull one piece of spaghetti out and a bunch of it falls off the plate. Well, yeah, that's where I'm coming from. All right, so we'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets and your Facebook posts. By the way, if you did not yet vote in our poll about the NBA All-Star festivities, I think you should check out the results. It just ended in the last couple of minutes, and we had hundreds of you weigh in on our Facebook page. I have no idea why this particular question was appealing to you, but hundreds of you on Facebook, thousands of you on our Twitter poll, kind of crazy how many of you wanted to let me know that you did not watch any of the festivities over All-Star Weekend. I guess that left you time on your hands so that you were able to find our Twitter poll. Anyway, so that was kind of funny. Again, you can weigh in on Facebook still, or you can check out the results on Twitter. I don't mind that you didn't watch, since I only watch bits and pieces of it. I consider it to be a weekend off in the NBA, like a lot of the players do, as a matter of fact. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. From Major League Baseball, we did have some news on Monday, but it wasn't the news you were looking for, okay? So nothing on Bryce Harper, nothing on Manny Machado that's become public. However, one longtime manager in the game dropped a bombshell.
I will be retiring after the season. And the reason being, there's been so many questions about it, and it's not fair to Larry or Farhan, myself, or the team. In my mind, it's time.
That is the voice of manager Bruce Bochy. He's not in San Francisco now, but he's with his team in spring training. But, of course, he is the manager, the longtime manager of the Giants. And before that, he was 12 years with the San Diego Padres. He is 63 years old. And as he was meeting with reporters at spring training on Monday, he announced that he will retire when this season is over. The Giants won three, have won. He's not done yet. There's always a possibility they could win again in 2019. But to this point, they have won three World Series titles with Bochy at the helm. 2010, 2012, 2014. They had never won a World Series before he arrived in the Bay Area. He has 1,926 career wins, which makes him 11th on the all-time wins list. And listen to this. This is a Bruce Bochy nerd alert. He has managed every season in Major League Baseball going back to the 1994 strike-shortened season.
I've managed with my gut. Came up here in 2007 on my gut. And so it's a gut feeling that it's time, and it's been an unbelievable ride. And there's so much to be grateful for. The players, the city, the fans. It's time now.
I'm glad that he will have this last season, because more than likely he'll win his 1,000th game. And, 1,000th game with the Giants, I should clarify, because I said he had 1,926 career wins, but I shouldn't expect you to make that leap with me. He has nearly 1,000 wins with the Giants alone. Right now he's at 975. So what a party, what a celebration. He definitely deserves that. He's a future Hall of Famer. Even going back to his time with the Padres, he led them to the 1998 World Series. He's a game changer. And what a legacy, what a fingerprint for Bruce Bochy. Again, announcing his intent to retire after the 2019 season. 25 minutes away from my conversation with Michigan linebacker Devin Bush. So tell all your friends, set your alarm straight ahead. It was some kind of a wild night on the ice. Holy cow, goals flying here, goals flying there. Does it get you jazzed up for the Stanley Cup playoffs? It should. Three words, sudden death overtime. One of the greatest inventions in sports history. So maybe we'll whet your appetite a little bit. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Here we are, months into the new NHL season. I have to use my air quotations, new NHL season. We're not that far away from the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I'm still chortling, laughing, yucking it up at Alex Ovechkin and all his excitement over the Stanley Cup. Remember what we did for Valentine's Day last week? I wish for you someone who loves you as much as Alex Ovechkin loves the Stanley Cup. It still hasn't gotten old. And, of course, the Capitals are still the defending champs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It was a big night for Ovechkin. We'll get to that here momentarily, because it was a wild night on the ice. It was almost like the NHL knew about the void with the NBA and the All-Star break and decided we better put on a show. What are you most looking forward to as we hurtle our way toward the spring? In sports, what's the next big event that's got you all jacked up? Is it the Stanley Cup playoffs? Is it March Madness? Is it the NBA postseason? Maybe it's the Masters. Maybe it's the spring in NASCAR. Maybe it's Major League Baseball, or it's the football process. Figuring out who your team's going to draft and deciding how much better it's going to make your favorite franchise. So that's our Twizzler Tuesday question. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or you can weigh in on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in, 855-212-4227. So did someone say Alex Ovechkin? Oh, we've got your Alex Ovechkin.
Capitals getting some good looks here on this power play. Ovechkin shoots and scores from the left circle, number 41 on the season. And with 8:12 to go in the first, it's 1-0 Washington. Nick Backstrom eyeing the middle. Back to Carlson, onto Ovechkin. One-timer, he scores! Alex Ovechkin, second power play goal of the night. And it's 3-0 Washington.
I love listening to John Walton on the Capitals Radio Network, and that was the 10th multi-goal game of the season for Alex Ovechkin. Boy, there is no Stanley Cup hangover for him. Well, there was an actual Stanley Cup hangover, but there's no, you know, there's no Super Bowl hangover / Stanley Cup winning hangover. Not for Ovi. Instead, he continues to be one of the best players on the planet, and it's clear that he's got his eye on the prize yet again. So it's so much fun to watch him play. On the road at the Kings, he has 2 power play goals, and the Capitals edge Los Angeles 3-2. And I think now they're 2-2 on this road trip. And so it's kind of been a back and forth affair. They're second in their division, and they'll take everything they can get from Alex Ovechkin, to be sure. But did you hear at the end of this call, when Ovechkin scores his second power play goal, can you like re-rack it, maybe like 10 seconds left in this call, Dave? Someone is clapping, pounding on the desk, maybe slapping a clipboard. That's what it sounds like to me. Someone's either right near John Walton as he's calling it, or it's Walton himself.
He scores! Alex Ovechkin, second power play goal of the night, and it's 3-0 Washington!
It's not someone pounding on the glass because it makes a different type of a sound. No, it's someone pounding on the desk or slapping a clipboard, and it's someone who's right near John Walton, or there's a mic that's hanging down into the stands. We call it a crowd mic when we do play-by-play, and it could potentially be someone who's literally sitting on top of the crowd mic, maybe eating the crowd mic. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Did you guys happen to catch the beginning of the Senators-Blackhawks game? If you did, well, are you not entertained?
Here are the Senators on the attack at the Hawk blue line. Shabbat coughed up the puck. Cahoon the other way over the Senator line. Left circle, put it in front to bring it to the score! The Cat strikes again! A perfect setup from Cahoon from the left wing boards to the break it in front. He slapped it out of midair into the top shelf. Inside, top of the circle. Now to Forsling with a drive. He scores! A howitzer from Gustav Forsling near the top of the right circle. Sails past Anderson. And the Hawks lead by a pair at 7-5. Kane to DeBrincat, left circle to Taves. Right circle. Shoots. He scores!
Here's Shabbat breaking it in. Sends it in. And that one, I think, went in. I think that went over the shoulder in the top pocket and back out. And I think Shabbat just scored. Here's a chance. Right on. Ward makes a save. Pageot with a backhander. It doesn't work. Scored! Chipped in. The late man coming through. And I believe that was Shabbat again.
If you blinked, you missed something. This was like the Chiefs and Rams in the regular season. It was relative insanity. In the first period alone, the Blackhawks and the Senators combined for 9 goals. And I love what we heard afterwards from the locker room. High scoring affair, obviously. Obvi! Yeah, pretty crazy game to be a part of. In the end, the Blackhawks edge the Sens 8-7. But literally 9 goals in the first period. And Chicago had its 9th win in 11 games. So this is kind of, I think, set the stage for Stanley Cup. If you're looking for excitement, maybe you're one of those people who doesn't follow hockey a lot, or maybe you think it's boring. Fact is, every now and then get a game like that that just blows you away, and you can't keep up, really. You can't possibly leave the TV to go get more snacks or get a drink. Patrick Kane, by the way, is on quite a tear. His 36th goal and a pair of assists in this one, and his point streak is now at 18 games. It's the longest by any player in the NHL this season. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You want Wild Affair. Now, I know they had 15 total goals in their game. It was a late face-off because it was in the Bay Area at SAP Center in San Jose. The Sharks were hosting the Boston Bruins, and this one near and dear to my heart for a couple of reasons. Number one, Joe Thornton is my favorite player of all time. He used to be a Bruins captain, and when he got blindsided by a trade way back when, I decided, well, I guess I'm going to be a Sharks fan. And at that point, I really didn't know a whole lot about the Sharks. I wasn't national radio yet, so I didn't have to cover them. But I just knew that all of a sudden, Joe Thornton was all the way across the country from where I was working in Providence, Rhode Island at the time. And so I had to catch up pretty quick. So now here we are. Thornton is 39 years old. And on Monday night, he and the Sharks were hosting his former team, the Bruins.
Off the faceoff, maybe one chance. Pavelski behind the net. Wraparound attempt, save, rebound, score! Joe Thornton's in front of the net, pokes at the rebound, and he should get it. 2 seconds left in the first period, and Jumbo Joe gets the Sharks on the board. That is an emotional high for San Jose going back to the locker room. Puck in deep. Joe Thornton having a strong game tonight in forechecking, digging the puck free. Trying to shovel it back for LeBanc. Thornton just controlling the play there. Now LeBanc gets it and whips it around the boards all the way back to the left point to Šimek. He stops, he shoots, it's in front. Thornton scores! Jumbo Joe gets his second goal of the game, and the Sharks are down by one. Pavelski feeds to Burns in deep. Oh, centering feed behind two players that were open on the left wing side. One of them was Joe Thornton. Pavelski back for Thornton. He's across the line. Shoots. He scores! The hat trick for Joe Thornton. And he puts the Sharks in front 5-4. And SAP Center explodes in excitement.
Oh, my goodness. The GIFs and the memes, they're all over the place on social media because Joe Thornton and hat trick do not go together in the same sentence. Now, this is personal for me because he's my favorite player, and that's the reason I'm driving all the way to Pittsburgh on Thursday and not sleeping and going to the game between the Penguins and the Sharks because I want to make sure I see him play in person one more time just in case he retires. And he's had knee issues the last couple of years. So his first hat trick in 8 seasons, going back to October of 2010, and it came against his former team, Dan Ruzanowski, with the calls on the Sharks radio network. Now, he did give the Sharks the lead in this game in the third period, but the Bruins were not done. There was a late goal by Boston's Chris Wagner, and then they were on into overtime.
Back of the net now, DeBrusque. He'll skate ahead, separates from Couture over the line, left side into the left circle, sauced across, Krejci to the slot, fired, they score! Bring the belt to the Boston Bruins! Charlie McAvoy in overtime with the dagger! The Bruins are a perfect 3-0 on the trip. They've won 6 straight games. That's a season high as they beat the Sharks in OT 6-5.
Judd Surratt with the call on the Bruins radio network. Huge for them. And McAvoy's had just 4 goals this year. But this one came with a minute left in overtime after the Bruins blew an early 3-goal lead. So big for them because they're on the road. They're still perfect on this road trip. Season best, 6 wins in a row. And actually, in their last 11 games, are 8-0-3. So they've had points in 11 consecutive games. So big for the Bruins, even as they're missing, they're still missing Pasternak too. And so a lot of their scoring with him, they're having to overcome that loss. So you've got all kinds of scoring in the NHL. Everywhere you look, it was one of those dynamic nights on the ice. And maybe that whets your appetite for the Stanley Cup postseason, which will start in mid-April. Let's see. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What are you most looking forward to when we talk about spring sports? And then also on our Facebook page. So whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, we'll try to work in some of your calls here. I decided that we'll do our conversation with Devin Bush, the Michigan linebacker, at the top of the hour. So it gives us a little more time to finagle. So that's coming up following the update as we head into our next hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're just getting ready to start your work week, or if you're coming off a Monday where you feel like you were the only one that you know who was working, we got your back. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Already seeing a ton of your tweets and Facebook posts about the next big thing in sports that you're most looking forward to. I have such a hard time choosing. I love the month of October, and there's nothing like NFL season. But I tell you what, the spring is its own kind of craziness, and I get really excited. We crowned two champions, obviously, in the spring. Holy crap. I just looked at our Facebook page. What? You guys are really excited. So not only did we get 200 something comments on Facebook about the NBA All-Star game and how you didn't watch, but you're already in an attempt to blow that number out of the water in the first half hour of the show. You're answering our Twizzler Tuesday question, which is awesome. Okay, so I just happened to see that while I was talking and I was distracted, but yay. So yes, you're sending us the next big thing in sports that you're excited about. And we do not judge. Whatever it is, you find us, you let us know. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So I'll start to get to some of your responses here. Coming up after the sports update at the top of the hour, Michigan defensive captain, linebacker, two-time All-American, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, Devin Bush, potential first-rounder in the NFL draft. I had a chance to talk to him a few hours ago about this preparation process for the combine and the draft, and then, of course, the whole experience of playing at Michigan. He'll be leaving after 3 years, and so he won't finish up his eligibility, but he's got his sights set on football as a job. Just so much fun to talk to him. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to JC, who's in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Great show today. A couple of questions I have for you. I want to talk about Kaepernick and Kareem Hunt. My question to you is, do you think if Kaepernick knew the outcome of his stance on social injustice, do you think he would have done the same thing, or do you think he would have done something over? The $60 million settlement that everybody's talking about, I did the math, I did some research, that's less than 1% of what the NFL made. So you're talking about $2 million per owner, the 30 owners, I mean, I don't think there's 31 or 32, but you're talking about it cost them $2 million to let this guy probably not ever play again. It's a privilege, not a right, to play in the NFL. Just like if I own my own business, I have the right to refuse service to anybody as long as I don't, you know, violate, like, their civil rights or anything in that term. So they're saying, we don't want this guy. The pros, the cons outweigh the pros. Like, you can't bring this guy in. You would alienate half your season ticket holders. You can't have those 20, 30,000 people say, we're not going to sign up for tickets. I know that's going to the extreme, but nothing good comes out of a team signing him. That's why I think in this contract that he signed, he probably has some type of thing where saying he's not going to play in the NFL again. And I wanted Kareem Hunt. I think it's a great signing for Browns, but I think for a reason nobody's brought up. I don't think he'll play it down in for them. I think he's a great trading chip. If Amari Cooper, they got the 15th pick, I believe, from the Cowboys, the Raiders did. So he's probably a top 5 or 10 just based on his talent alone. Now, let's not forget, Kansas City, they released him not because it was in the video, because he lied saying he wasn't there. If Kareem Hunt would have said, hey, I was there, I was drunk, she said some stuff and I messed up, do you still think that he would have been released from them? Or do you think the Chiefs would have been like, hey, you know, he came clean. We're going to give him 3 or 4 games suspension, and then we'll work with him. Just wanted your thoughts on that, because it's funny how everybody thinks Kaepernick won. I don't think anybody won. I just think one person loses more slowly. And
okay, JC, let me answer your questions, and then if you want to respond, you can, but that's a lot. So I want to make sure I don't forget some of the stuff that you said. First of all, everyone doesn't think that he won. I was on the show last night talking about how there are pros and cons for both. Neither side could afford the hit to his image if this case went one way or another, went against them. So in the case of the NFL would have taken a damaging hit to its image. And then the same thing goes for Colin Kaepernick. The burden of proof, and a very clear burden of proof, was on him. And if he had lost this case, his brand and his image would have been tarnished as well. I do not believe, as you say, the extreme that you're talking about 20 or 30,000 season ticket holders for every franchise should that team bring a Colin Kaepernick on board. I think there are certain places where he would be more welcome. There are obviously places in the NFL where the owners have indicated that no one is allowed to kneel or disrespect the flag during the national anthem, Jerry Jones being one of those. But there are other owners who have spoken out. He's also on the record as calling a couple of different owners racist. So there are some places where he's likely not to get a job, but there are going to be some other places. Maybe they're a little more progressive. Their owners are a little more progressive and aren't afraid of the fallout, similar to the Cleveland Browns with Kareem Hunt, where I think he would be welcome. Now, of course, there's the question of football. How does he fit into the system? How much money do they have to allocate for a backup? I don't know that there's a team out there that's going to offer him a starting job when you consider the climate right now and just the different free agents who are available. So in terms of everyone saying that he won, that $60 million that you're throwing out there is nothing but a rumor and speculation. This is a sealed, completely confidential agreement. And if numbers start to leak out or information starts to leak out, you're talking about real penalties for either side. So all just keep in mind everything that you've heard about the settlement between Kaepernick and Reed and the NFL is all speculation. I think what you're talking is major extremes. There would be some places in the NFL where he, even if he wasn't welcomed by the entire fan base, the fan base cares more about the uniform and about the team itself than it would about one particular player. I'll agree with you that it would be a major distraction for a while, no matter where he went. You know, that's the case when you're talking about a name that transcends the sport, but I don't think it's something that every franchise would back away from. If they had him in training camp, you've got some time to adjust and you kind of see how it works after that. But football is the big thing. No franchise is going to bring him on board and keep him on a roster if he can't help their team. So football, it always comes back to the football, which is why Kareem Hunt has a job with the Cleveland Browns now. As for Kansas City, I can't possibly tell you what might have happened, but if the Chiefs had heard the full story, maybe knew there was a video, potentially asked for the video, maybe Hunt didn't know there was a video, but if the Chiefs had gotten in front of it, had disciplined him with a 3 or 4 game suspension, now the NFL would have weighed in. There's no way the NFL would have allowed the Chiefs to take care of it on their own. But yeah, I could see that he might have still been a member of that franchise, considering they've got Tyreek Hill, for instance, on their roster, who had to go through this process when he was in college, pled guilty in his domestic violence case. So I don't know about the Chiefs. I do know that they didn't have the full story. I believe them when they say that. They obviously dropped the ball by not investigating further. And so now the Browns will have to take the hit.
But don't you believe $60 million for the NFL is nothing? What they made?
Well, $60 million for one player is a lot, but no, compared to $15 billion in, now that's gross revenue, that's not net revenue. I don't know, as you say, that it came from every owner, that each owner had to pony up. The NFL's got money in coffers for this kind of stuff. They have, I mean, every major corporation has losses, you know, like a loss category where they take losses and that kind of stuff. So I don't even know if I believe the $60 million. It was a settlement. And so we don't exactly know, but that seems like it would be the upper echelon of what Kaepernick would be able to ask for if you consider 2 years out of the NFL. And again, the NFL is not admitting collusion, so I don't really know. But no, $60 million, I wouldn't say it's a drop in the bucket, but it's a minor percentage of their full revenue. Thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. Kent is listening in Eugene, Oregon. Kent, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, hi, Amy. I haven't talked to you in a couple of years. But, you know, Kaepernick-wise, let the guy play if he can. If he can make a team, that's good. I was just going for a big shout-out for the Oregon Duck girls, since you're women's basketball
Women.
Player.
Oregon Duck women.
Oregon Duck women.
There you go.
Since you're a women's player and we never argue with each other, just that's just my shout-out.
Oh, so you're excited about March Madness with the Oregon Duck women? Or Oregon Duck basketball in general?
Well, you know, I have to be Oregon Duck in general if you're going to do it. Yes.
Yes, well, they are on some kind of a run right now. What, they're 24-2, correct?
And I think they're one.
They're
and I can't remember who they lost to.
Okay.
I think they only have one loss.
Okay. I will have to check that. But yeah, the fact that they're making so much noise right now is really cool. And it's fun to have different challengers step up from all over the country in women's basketball. And I say this over and over about the sport in general. What the UConn women have done has forced everyone else in the sport to raise the bar. The idea is that if you're going to be able to compete with a program that good, by the way, they are 24-2. They just had their 17-game win streak snapped against Oregon State on Monday night, actually. So and the only reason I know that is because I looked up and there was the highlight, so I could confirm that with you. But the UConn women, Tennessee women, Duke, Notre Dame, there have been some other programs, North Carolina, that group of teams, even now South Carolina, obviously with Dawn Staley, has forced everyone else in women's college basketball to raise their level of play or they're going to be left behind. So I think it's been beneficial to the entire sport, and Oregon has obviously raised the bar and now has a chance to make a ton of noise once we get into March Madness.
Well, obviously, I'd be making a lot more noise if the guys were doing better, but they're not. So
women will take your support.
The girls for now, then, huh?
Women.
The women, yeah.
Yes, the women. Team. Okay.
I call them girls and guys anymore. So
Then call them girls and boys. Would you call college basketball the on the men's side boys? Would you call it college boys basketball? You wouldn't. No, you would not. Kent, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. It's fine. I get it. It's just, think about it when you say it. You know, they're not girls. And just like you wouldn't call men's basketball players boys at the college level. But thank you, Kent, for your phone call. All right, what are you most looking forward to? Devin Bush is straight ahead. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.